Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich, the power behind your pension.
Experts have warned that 100,000 may already be infected by the coronavirus around the world, as the number of people to die from the virus in China rises to 81. There are now 37 confirmed cases in 12 countries other than China. At home, the Health Threats Coordination Group met this afternoon to discuss the latest developments. The Department of Foreign Affairs has updated its travel advice this afternoon, advising travellers against visiting the province of Hubei if possible. I'm joined by Professor Sam McConkie, who's head of the Department of International Health and Tropical Medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons. Professor McConkie, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, developments over the weekend, you know, have given rise to concerns about how this virus is behaving. Can you take us through maybe the knowns and the unknowns at this stage around this virus?
So the knowns are that it's spread in a fairly rampant way, especially in the Hubei province and Wuhan city of China. That's very much overwhelmed their health services. Their hospitals are full. People are being turned away from emergency rooms to the extent that they've realized they need about 1,000 more isolation rooms in Wuhan, a city of about 11 million people. They're dramatically trying to build a hospital in about a week and a half, with 1,000 isolation beds in it. So they've moved in bulldozers, as many have seen. So that means they've recognized that their health services are completely overwhelmed there by people with pneumonia, respiratory failure, who need oxygen, need respiratory support because of this virus. And it's spreading uncontrollably in that city. Other parts of China then have tried to limit transport in and out of Wuhan and Hubei and four or five cities around it. So the Chinese unusually are taking a sort of city level and provincial level quarantine by cutting off rail and transport links and air links in and out of that area where it's gone rampant. It has spread into about 20 other provinces in China. It's not really clear to me at this stage how many of those provinces also have uncontrolled, let's say, rampant transmission, and how many just have one or two cases.
Those facts are quite scary, you know, the rampant spread, the speed with which this is moving. Are there unknowns as well at this stage?
Yeah, there's lots of unknowns. One is what we call the attack rate. So if you take a population, let's say the people living around the seafood market in Wuhan, where we believe this started, it'd be really helpful to know, of all the people that visited there in the weeks when this started, what proportion of them developed this new coronavirus. That's called the attack rate, and that might help predict whether, if it came to Ireland or France and went wild, would it affect 10% of the population, 20, 40, or 80? So that's a big unknown, is the attack rate. Another one is called the reproductive rate, or R-naught. That is how many new cases of coronavirus infection are caused by each individual index case, or each new case. So if one person comes with coronavirus, how many, on average, new cases will amount from them? And then what's the distribution of those? Are some of the people super spreaders, as we had in SARS, where some people excreted a lot of the SARS virus and spread it to 20, 30, 50 people? Or is the distribution of spread pretty much similar, that everyone has one or two cases? Another known that we've come out in the last day or two is the Chinese have said that people who are not yet symptomatic are infectious, meaning that people who haven't yet developed fever, cough, and pneumonia can be infectious. And that's a worrying claim and a worrying characteristic. And it's also different from SARS. It suggests that this new coronavirus may be slightly more infectious than SARS.
Does this mean we don't know the incubation period of this virus?
In general, it's between 1 and 14 days, maybe around 5 days on average. So there's about five or six other coronaviruses in humans, and it looks like this is similar incubation period. So once somebody's 14 days well, if you like, after exposure, you're probably fine.
Will everybody who is infected with the virus go on to present with symptoms?
We don't know that. That's a very good question, Mary. So to do that, you need seroprevalence studies where you look at antibodies in the population at risk's blood and see what proportion of those with antibodies who've developed, if you like, an immune response to the coronavirus have actually developed them. So we don't have that data yet. That's a very, very, very good question.
How do we prevent it coming to Ireland, or what is the best we can do to try to prevent it coming to Ireland?
That's a great question. Because this has completely overwhelmed the Chinese authorities, which, as you know, is a second or maybe the biggest economy in the world, this is really quite a challenging sort of threat and a challenging infection for all of us. The rest of us outside China have a head start. So because we know that it exists, we have time now in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks to prepare for detecting it as soon as possible, alerting people who maybe travel from Wuhan to Ireland or travel from other areas where it becomes widespread to Ireland, that if they get fever, if they get cough, if they get upper respiratory infections, that they need to go into some self-isolation. And if they get sick, they need to seek medical attention. They may need infection control precautions like a single room, like cohorting. If their doctors and nurses see them, they need to wear special masks called a FFP2 mask. So it's not just an ordinary sort of square blue surgical mask. It's one with a filter on it. Everyone needs to wear gloves and gowns with long sleeves and eye protection. The HPSC, the Health Protection Surveillance Centre, has taken a lead on this and last Friday announced a series of instructions for how healthcare workers, whether in ambulances or GP or hospital, should behave if we meet cases that are suspected to have this new coronavirus. The good news is they're a bit similar to what we've been doing for flu. So as you know, we've all been through just 4 weeks ago, a fairly bad flu outbreak that was really destroying our emergency rooms. We'd crowding in our ambulances, crowding in our hospitals, and crowding like in our emergency rooms that I, who've been in Ireland like 16 years a consultant, haven't seen before. It was genuinely bad overcrowding due to influenza epidemic. That all disappeared about 10 days ago. We're now back to sort of normal.
But that is the worrying point of wondering and worrying about the impact this will have if coronavirus arrives here.
To be sort of calculating about it is that the current coronavirus appears to have a death rate around 2%, that 2 out of 100 people who get symptoms die from it. They get respiratory failure, pneumonia, need lots of oxygen. Sadly, one of the doctors from Wuhan who looked after many of the early cases has died of it. So healthcare workers are at risk. They're putting themselves on the line, you know, like the firefighters in the Twin Towers.
But do we know, Professor, are those who suffer severely from this virus and who have died, will they always have compromised immunities?
So far, the case reports that have come out of China is that is the case, that they're I hate to say elderly because many of us are over 50 and it means different things to different people, but it's often with diabetes, particularly chronic lung disease. So many people have underestimated how much damage smoking causes to our lungs. Even smoking 40 cigarettes, or 20 cigarettes a day for 40 years and then stopping still destroys our pulmonary function in a permanent and irreparable way. So even 10 or 20 years later, your reserve is less because people smoked. Sometimes we call it emphysema, sometimes bronchitis, sometimes COPD, but it's basically smoking-induced lung disease. And unfortunately, those folk with underlying lung diseases like asthma, maybe cystic fibrosis, and smoking-induced lung disease, which unfortunately is very, very common around, may be more susceptible to getting this. And if they do get it, are much more susceptible to getting respiratory failure, where their lungs aren't able to suck in enough oxygen from the air to keep the heart and the kidneys and the brain oxygenated. Therefore, they need to be in hospital. They need extra oxygen initially, you know, through nasal prongs and the nose. Yeah. If that's not enough, then through what we call non-invasive pulmonary ventilation, a little box that squeezes oxygen into your nose. If that doesn't work, then intubation, a tube into the trachea and a big machine in intensive care to puff oxygen into you. If that doesn't work, then we've got a big black box called ECMO, extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, which we have some boxes in the matter, which can actually push oxygen into your blood through a membrane.
So we have the medical tools, but we, at this stage, we're in a state of not knowing what is going to happen. There are so many,
exactly,
as you said earlier, unknowns around this virus. But why hasn't the WHO declared the outbreak in China a public health emergency of international concern?
The reason is because so far it has only been really gone rampant in China. So the definition of that, it's called a PHEIC, beautiful, P-H-E-I-C, Public Health Emergency of International Concern. It's not yet international because the cases that have happened in places like Japan and Korea have only been one single individual case. So as you know, there's been a case in France, but we haven't heard that there's been any secondary cases mm-hmm. come out of the case in France. Or there's been one in US, but we haven't heard that there's been any spreading onwards to anyone secondary from that case that arrived in the US. So it seems like whatever they did in the US may have controlled it. I give you an example. In 2003, there was a case of SARS arrived into Castlebar Hospital in Mayo.
Yeah.
Which is a very, very similar infection. And the good nurses and doctors and administrators in Castlebar in 2003 managed to recognize that case early, put them in isolation, use the gloves, use the gowns, treat the patient with the oxygen they needed until they recovered, and nobody else in Mayo or anywhere else in Ireland caught SARS from that individual case of coronavirus of SARS that arrived in 2003 in our island. And that was a successful infection control
And good to know. But you did say earlier that this could be a more deadly virus than SARS, didn't you? I may be misinterpreting what you said.
Well, I didn't say more deadly. I said more transmissible.
Okay.
So it's probably less deadly. The data on SARS is it killed about 10% of people who had it. This killed about 2%. So it's a less deadly virus, but it may be more transmissible in that it seems to be infectious before it's symptomatic. So there's a difference between sort of transmissibility, mm-hmm. ability to spread from person to person, and the actual propensity to kill people, if you like.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this new one will be with good gloves and gowns and our traditional infection control, early detection, isolation, cohorting, gloves, gowns, masks, that we can control. And so far it seems that in places like France and US and the small number, as you mentioned, I think it was 34 or 38 mm-hmm. cases that have occurred in other countries, that we're not seeing in those other countries this go rampant out of control in the other countries. So because it's not spreading to secondary and sort of third and fourth generation cases in these other countries, that's why it's not an international epidemic at this problem. It's a big Chinese problem. You've heard the Chinese Premier saying this is a national emergency in China, which it is, but it's not yet an international emergency. The WHO FEC committee are keeping the situation review. They said they'd review it in 5 days and then 10
right.
days. So they are aware that it might start to go wild in other countries, but it hasn't yet.
Professor Sam McConkie from the Department of International Health and Tropical Medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons, thank you very much indeed.